Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. As ever, I am your host, Matt.
And I'm Cliff.
And we are here to do podcasting about video games and TV. Go!
Really?
Yeah.
I was here for the hookers and blow.
That's next week. Cliff, what have you been playing, reading, watching, doing?
Playing only a couple of games. I've decided, as much as I am frustrated with how it kind of works, I'm playing some Siege again. And the reason I'm playing Siege again, Rainbow Six Siege, if you know, you're not familiar with
it. Okay, thank you for that.
Is because my friends only play two games ever, and it's Rocket League and Siege. And so if I want to play games with them, I guess I'm playing those two games. So I reinstalled Siege. 100 gigabytes of first-person shooter. That's including the, like, Ultra HD texture packs that go with
Okay, right.
So it's like 70 gig normally, which is still pretty beefy, and then like 30 gig of textures. Yeah, it's nuts. I don't know why it's that big, but hey, it's that big. So I'm playing it, and you know, it's okay. It's frustrating in a bunch of ways. It's extremely difficult to jump in and just, I guess, like, learn on the fly when it's this far in.
Yeah.
It's extremely difficult, and it's annoying in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's okay. I'm getting a few kills here and there. So, you know, it's nice. All right. Playing a bit of Rocket League too. Playing Rumble because that's the best mode in the universe.
I still haven't gotten into Rocket League.
It's games you need to play with your
mates. Different platforms.
If you play with your mates, it's fun. I don't care about ranked or any of that bullshit.
Yeah, no, I definitely will never care about that.
No.
Okay. Yeah, you've been playing Siege. Did you say you've been playing something else as well?
Well, I've been helping my girlfriend play Minecraft.
Cute.
Because she can play that relatively well without dying. but she found a mine, and it was one of those like underground abandoned mines you can find in them.
Okay.
And she got lost inside. How do I know how to get out? So you just walk back where all of you... You've got to remember where you came in and remember when you turn.
Or just dig up.
That's what I told her. Just dig up. You'll be fine. So I've helped her out a few times getting in and out of these places and discovering, and she heard spiders because there was like cave spider spawners everywhere in this abandoned mine, and she was very freaked out by it, so I had to basically take control and kill all of the spiders while she was freaking out, and then handed it back, and she, you know, she went on her merry way. So
cute.
Yeah, helping that out. But apart from that, not really playing anything more. I finished Handmaid's Tale on in the book form.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It has a weird kind of thing about it, which it kind of, I don't want to give it away for anyone that wants to read it, but you have the book and then it's got like a kind of an epilogue to it. And the epilogue kind of doesn't necessarily change the events of the book, but it definitely changes your perception of the world and the thing it's set in. So The Handmaid's Tale is told kind of first person perspective by Offred, the main handmaid of the tale, and then this thing is not told by her at all. It's pulled back, kind of told by an outside observer, and it changes the kind of the scope of everything. It's very interesting. Then, because I'd finished it, I told my girlfriend about it, and so we started to watch it. She was horrified by it. and so we got about 7 episodes through the first season. She was not happy about it. And I said, what's the most fucked up thing about this show is that it's not that many steps away from where we are now. Like, it really isn't.
As you said, yeah.
And she basically said, don't say that, and got really upset by it, which is kind of funny. But
stop ruining everything for her.
It's real good. She was some of the scenes in it made her very uncomfortable, which I reminded her is the point of the show, is to make you feel uncomfortable. It was good.
Nice.
It's real good. I recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, I keep meaning to get around to it. I have like my short list of shows and movies and stuff to get through, which I'm very slowly starting to chip away at on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I will never get through everything because every time I clear a show out, I add two more.
Oh, yeah, there's way more. Yeah.
Yeah. I finished Paradise PD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before we step away from Handmaid's Tale. I will say it departs from the book about halfway through the first season.
Oh, okay.
And then goes really, like, separate. Like, they start incorporating more, I guess, minor characters in the book, or characters mentioned in passing, and then goes into its whole, like, other thing. Because the book itself is not, like, its scope is kind of very contained. So, obviously, for a TV show, they want to expand it out and have more seasons and stuff, because it's only a single book, Anyway, Paradise PD, go.
Yeah, so I finished it. It's only, like, 10 episodes for the first season. I still don't know if I liked it. Like, I really am not sure. And it's the same reception I've heard from a number of people saying, yeah, I watched the whole thing. Don't know if I enjoyed myself. The interesting thing is, it, despite being that kind of, you know, cartoon half-hour show, it very much has a through-line story. So there's a consistent narrative throughout it. And that's kind of interesting, because in between it's just full of really filthy jokes. Like, really filthy. I've seen more cartoon scrotum in the past week than in the rest of my life. And I've been on DeviantArt before, so that was confronting. I finished that. I'm about two-thirds of the way through Dragon Prince, the new show from the Last Airbender showrunners, which, yeah, I'm enjoying that. The frame rate still kind of weirds me out, the fact that it's designed to be kind of not smooth. It's, I don't know why they made that choice, because they could definitely make it a smooth animation. Like, that technology exists.
I mean, that's how you, when you animate stuff, it's just how many frames do you want, and that would just render that many frames.
Yeah, but it's like a stylistic choice. And I mean, I've adjusted to it a bit, but I'd really rather it had smooth animation, to be honest. Especially for moments like, there's a character in it who is deaf mute and she signs, and then another character kind of speaks on her behalf, kind of translating for most characters. But there's a couple of sort of emotional moments where she's signing and it's not translated. And that's one, cool representation, cool that it's like brave enough to make that choice and rely that viewers can understand the emotion from her face.
I was going to say, you're supposed to read it from her body language and face.
Yeah. Like, one of the big ones is she goes to visit her sister's grave and she's signing at the grave while the her lieutenant stands back respectfully, so he's not translating for her standing in front of a grave. But it's clear from her face she's saying something very emotional. Unfortunately, after speaking to a friend of mine who does know ASL, the animation was a bit too skippy to get a proper picture of what was being said. Like, they added more frames for the more fluid movements, but still, it's very jumpy. So unless you were, like, an expert sign reader, I don't think you'd be able to pick it up.
Is it supposed to be the American Sign Language
standard? It is. It's American Sign Language. So, yeah, he was able to get bits and pieces, but not consistently, which is a little bit of a shame. But apparently, they're waiting on it to be confirmed for a second season. There's a game in the works, which will be sort of within the world, but not like an adaptation. And also, the main character is voiced by Sokka from Last Airbender. So I'm happy about that, because I get to hear Sokka again. Also a Celtic elf voice, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, despite the animation. The other thing I also started watching... Oh, there's two more. I've been doing a lot of Netflix lately. I started the new season of BoJack Horseman, which is as thoroughly depressive as it ever is. It's fantastic. Maybe make sure you're in a good frame of mind before you watch it, is my recommendation. It can be a bit heavy, and like, they're four seasons in now, so they're not really holding back. There's one episode that's basically a single shot for the entire episode. I won't spoil it because it's a plot thing, but it's pretty much a static shot, a single angle, facing onto BoJack for an entire 20-minute episode, all to pay off a joke right at the end.
See, that I can appreciate.
It's fantastic. They do one of these, like, cool episodes every season, pretty much, like, where they try something really different, so I appreciated that.
See, the worse the joke as well, the more I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to build something up massively, massively, and then just really badly joke... Like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. like that ending sequence, that is the best and worst joke ever told in a movie.
The last thing I've been watching, I haven't finished, I've only watched about 10 minutes of it, is they added the live action Bleach movie to Netflix.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I used to read Bleach, I used to be a weeaboo. I read it, I watched the anime, I was very absorbed, and then I completely fell off the wagon at something like manga chapter 336 or something. It kept going to like 600, I'm pretty sure. Oh yeah,
that shit just goes on and on and on forever. A lot of the time without saying a lot.
Yeah, the anime had a lot of trouble with filler arcs because they were getting too close to where the actual manga was, and they didn't do the Game of Thrones thing and just make it up themselves. Yeah, I definitely didn't get to the end of Bleach because every time I see coverage for Jump Superstars, which is like a Smash Bros. Style fighting game for all the Shonen Jump anime titles, or manga titles, I should say, the outfit that Ichigo's wearing in it all, I do not recognize. He's got like a captain's coat, his sword's different, his face is different, all these bits miss. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. But luckily, the movie, which is like an hour and 45 minutes, covers the very, very, very early story. So it's kind of limited to the real world, which, given it's live action and has to be CG'd to heck, is for the best. It looks terrible. Like, it's your average live-action anime thing. They've done a little bit of effort to make the characters look like the characters, but a lot of them, I couldn't tell who it was. Yeah, one of his classmates...
Has there ever been a good live-action manga movie or, like, anime movie?
Dragon Ball Evolution was a fantastic work of cinema piece.
I repeat my question.
Ugh. God.
The only good bit about that was when Piccolo was going nuts and he was actually just shooting like one after another, like walking forward. That was the best bit of that movie. The rest of it sucked.
Yeah. I was more impressed with the hair architecture on the guy playing Goku. That was about whatever the only benefit.
Name is, who was also
James
then,
something.
Yeah, he was then in, went on to do Shameless US version.
Yeah, and he was in War of the Worlds.
Yeah, he was a dick in War of the Worlds.
He was. Yeah, so I'm going to keep watching this movie, but probably in like 5 minute pieces, just because I want to see how bad they do. Like, one of Ichigo's classmates, her defining characteristics as Orihime, orange hair like him. That's how they bonded as kids. Big boobs. Hairpins. They got one of the three.
Big
She's
boobs.
Got the hairpins.
Ah, no. Boo.
Right?
What's even the point?
Yeah, like... His two little sisters, who looked very distinct in the anime, one had short, sort of cropped brown hair. The other one had a very straight black bob. Both of them just look like generic young Japanese girls. Like, they haven't even put a wig on them. It's disappointing.
To be fair, though, anime hair is... that physics in the real world just does not exist for anime hair. You can't translate any anime hair to the real world.
Yeah, Rukia's hair is not even remotely close. It's like a ponytail with a single lock down her head. Doesn't look anything like her. But one of the captains, the guy who has the snake sword, he's got like the big red mohawk thingy and all the tattoos.
I mean, you might as well just be speaking Japanese to me right now.
I think his name's Ryuji, maybe? I don't know. They sort of hinted at him and he was in shadow. And it looks like they made a decent effort at his hair, but I'll have to watch like... for another month to get far enough into the movie to actually see him. But yeah, so that's what I've been watching for the last few weeks. I have been playing a video game. I can't actually talk about it, though. I can say that it is Assassin's Creed Odyssey I am playing for review, the new Assassin's Creed game, but the embargo for reviews is still a week and a half away or something.
I mean, surely you can say that it involves an assassin, possibly multiple assassins, that have some sort of creed... and that it involves some kind of odyssey.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, I've been playing it. I will talk about it when I'm allowed to. But I haven't uninstalled it. The one thing I will say is, like, typically I refer to the Assassin's Creed games shorthand when I, especially online.
Ask Creed.
Like, Ask Creed, yeah. Ask Creed 2, Ask Creed Bro.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might break the trend a little bit with this one and refer to it as Ars Odyssey, because that's funnier.
Sounds like Abe's Odyssey too.
That's true.
Hmm.
And considering you can have both same-sex and mixed-sex romance options in this game, it will be an Ars Odyssey.
Wait. I've got something here. Brain's working. There was also an Oddworld game called Munch's Odyssey. So it can be Ars Munch Odyssey.
And that's the last episode of The Indoorsman. Yeah, I'll talk about that more in like a week or two. Let's move on to the news. There's been some news.
There's been a bunch of news, actually. There has been. Last week or so.
Firstly, one that ties into a game that I wanted to play in the last week but couldn't, is over the weekend, I believe, Pokemon Go had a new Pokemon added. And not a new Pokemon from the existing generations, a new Pokemon from beyond the existing generations.
Really desperate to get people to play this game, aren't they?
Well, everyone seems to think that it's linked into... One of the things they announced for the interconnectivity between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu for Switch is that there'd be a new Pokemon introduced as part of the trade mechanic moving Pokemon back and forth. And now this random Pokemon has turned up, which is numbered 891 in the system code. Pokemon currently only go up to 807. So this could be some sort of rare or legendary from the end of the list for the next Pokemon game, which is insane. It looks like a grey Ditto with a screw nut for a head, with a crystal or something floating in the center that makes it look like an eye.
Can you link me a picture?
I can link you a picture, Clifford. I'm going to do that right now.
I mean, I know I'm going to hate it, because for the most part, Pokemon designs suck pretty hard these days.
This is true. There's no details. It doesn't show its name or anything either, so no one really knows what to make of it. It's a grey Ditto with a golden cog for a head.
It looks like some sort of, wanky, pretentious, award statue.
It does a little bit.
Yeah.
The
floating little pearl, I'll go
thing,
with,
yeah.
In the middle, that's supposed to, look magically floaty. Yeah, it's a thing, I guess. I've probably seen worse Pokemon designs than that.
Yeah, you definitely have. Yeah. Let's not forget the unknown. Everyone thought maybe it was a new item or a trophy or something until they realized that A, it's fully 3D modeled, and B, there's a shiny version in the code as well. So yeah, it seems like this might be the new Pokemon, and people are calling it Ditto Cog or Ditto Nut, which is a terrible name and I hate it.
There's going to be some great jokes made about that though.
Oh, there definitely will be. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Apparently, the Japanese Pokemon or Nintendo Twitter account tweeted something that implied it was not an accident that this appeared in a bunch of people's games, because it didn't just show up in the code. It actually started showing up in people's games.
I mean, of course it's not an accident it's showing up. They're quite seriously trying to, spruik this or make this, a mystery of the game.
Yeah. Apparently when you catch it, it turns into a Ditto or a Chikorita, which is odd. If it turned into a Ditto, that'd be one thing, because that's how they introduced Ditto to the game. You'd catch a Pokemon, and then it would turn into Ditto when you caught it.
Mm-hmm.
But Chikorita is an odd one. Yeah, so that's a thing.
Evolution of Ditto, maybe?
Mega Ditto? Who knows? I was interested, and I wanted to go in and try and catch one of these, but when I reinstalled Pokemon Go on my phone, every time I try and log in, it crashes. So I'm locked out of the Pokemon Go experience for now.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I stopped playing Pokemon Go when the one time I played it, when I needed to kill time on a bus, they stopped you doing it because it was moving too fast and it was unsafe for you, even though I'm sitting in on a bus not doing anything. Yeah, kind of fuck you.
I think I quit even before they introduced that. So I haven't touched this in a long time. Yeah. Apparently it's better. I will find out when it eventually starts working on my phone.
It can't be worse, that's for sure.
It cannot. So that was interesting. Do we want to do a couple little ones or go to the big ones straight away for the news items?
Just some little guys.
Yeah, okay. So TGS, Tokyo Game Show, was on last week, I think. A lot of bits and pieces came out of that, mostly just games that I'll care about. No one else will. But there was a new trailer for Death Stranding, the new Hideo Kojima game.
I saw like a screenshot of a gold skull looking dude.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a guy with a skull mask face thing. Mm-hmm. Voiced by Troy Baker. So Troy Baker's in there now.
I don't know who he is.
He is the new version of Nolan North, the guy who voices everything.
Gotcha.
He did the Joker in one of the Batman Arkham games, Origins, I think. Or did he do Batman? One of them. Yeah, he is in a lot of games. I think he voiced Joel in The Last of Us. I'm probably wrong. Hmm. That sounds wrong. Yeah, so he's in there. It's a skull guy. He summons a big monster out of the weird black oil hand people thing. It makes about as much sense as any other trailer. But yeah, Troy Baker's in there, and it's even more confusing. I can't wait to see what this is like as an actual game, because so far it just looks like a more confusing movie than Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. And that movie was ridiculous.
It was garbage, let's face it.
Yeah. Good fights, but that was about it.
Good to see our beloved heroes in glorious high-resolution CG.
At the time.
But that was about it.
Yeah. So that's the thing that happened. During the last week or two, they released still images of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. The first one was just in plain clothes, because apparently it's an origin story, which I hate. You don't explain where the Joker came from. The terror of the Joker is that he could be anyone, and even he doesn't seem to know where he came from.
And part of, what makes him such a good Batman foe is that if you don't know who he is, you don't know, you can't investigate nothing. He's a ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
Batman's power is that he's a detective. So if he doesn't know who and what the Joker is, how can you fight what you don't know?
Yeah, you can't use logic to solve the Joker because logic doesn't apply to the Joker.
Exactly.
But now they're going to give him an origin story, and it's in a different universe to the rest of the DCU. So
The DC whatever. Universe is just, it's fucked at this point. Like, who cares?
Yeah, so they then revealed a shot of him in Joker makeup, but it's not Joker makeup as you'd normally know. It's just classic clown. I hate it.
I like it.
I hate it. I'm not saying that he has to be the smeared-faced Joker like Heath Ledger, but it's not even his colours. He's got, like, blue diamonds around his eyes and big red eyebrows. It doesn't look like the Joker to me.
His suit that he's wearing is also off-colour for your typical Joker. So
yeah, it seems to be red or orange.
I think they're going for, like, earlier kind of fashion time. Like, his Joker makeup is supposed to be, like, old clown. Not new age clown. So I think that's what the aesthetic is going for. But ultimately, I saw people going on about saying that it doesn't look scary, all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter what the Joker's makeup looks like. It's how the Joker's played that makes him scary. And makeup that isn't necessarily scary is made even scarier by a good Joker performance.
That's fair.
So we'll see how he handles it. I still think that if you're going to make a solo Joker movie, it needs to be Willem Dafoe as Old Man Joker.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have to do makeup. Just let him come in straight to the cameras in the morning.
Well, I mean, you see the Simpsons, like the makeup shotgun that Homer makes? Just sit him in front of that, bang, film.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hate it. And we'll see how it goes.
See, I like it, but I don't know why we're getting this movie. Why? Give us anything else. Make a proper universe. Like, fix your shit.
Make more than two movies in a row with the same guy playing Batman, maybe.
Superman, apparently.
Or Superman. Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Henry Cavill's not coming back, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, when you've got a dumpster fire that is the DC universe.
Yeah, bail on it.
Yeah, I mean, they got some good stuff in it. It's just they can't make everything fit together, because they don't have a Feige fitting it together and forcing it together.
And they're too busy focusing on making everything grimdark.
I've got no problem with that. They just don't... It's not cogent along the thing. They're not actually paying attention to the characters and then how they fit into the universe. They haven't created a universe. They're just making character films and then trying to smash them together. It doesn't work.
Exactly. Now, I do have another piece of DC news, or we can switch to Marvel.
Yeah, let's go to DC. Let's just get the shit out of the way first.
Okay, breaking news. Everyone's seen Batman's dick.
Oh, yeah. Well, not really seen it because it's just like a light outline.
Yes. A new limited run comic that started last week, Batman Damned, which is part of the DC Black label, which is the new kind of, I think it's like the Marvel Max equivalent from back in the day. It's like a more serious, edgier comics thing where they can do experimental stories or whatever. In the comic, Batman's stripping off when he gets to the Batcave, and you see the shadowed silhouette of his chongus. So it's only for like 3 panels, I think. And then a gratuitous shot of his butt, which is generally Nightwing's domain, so I'm sure Dick will have something to say about that. But yeah, you can see the outline of Batman's dick, so we now know that Batman is circumcised. Which is a piece of knowledge to have.
The least interesting thing you could learn about Batman.
Yeah, and he seems to curve to the right as well, so...
I mean, if Batman's right-handed, and he's a person born in America, then mm-hmm. there's a good chance that he's gonna flow right, and he's also going to be circumcised.
That's true. Can you imagine, though, being the artist who did that comic and having your claim to fame be, I got to design Batman's dick?
Oh, it'd be on. I'd be putting on business cards.
Oh, yeah. Dick designer. Cliff slash Phillips, Batman.
I drew Batman's dick. And then you flip it over and it'd be a picture of Batman's dick.
Yeah. That's good because pretty soon you won't be able to see it anymore because not only do the digital versions of the comics not include the outline of Batman's dick, it is instead an entirely black zone. Future reprints of the print version will also exclude Batman's dick because everyone got too angry about it.
At least that means that the people who did buy it and put it in a bag with a cardboard mm-hmm. backing, it's going to be worth some money. The Bat
Dick. Mint Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad that once again we're afraid of the male form. Yay, nerds!
Yeah, it's just a dick. I got one right
moving
here.
Moving on to other things that male nerds are afraid of, a Captain Marvel trailer was released.
Hooray! Brie Larson it fucking looks Captain good. Marvel.
It looks amazing. Mm. They very well set the scene at the start of the trailer. She falls from space into a Blockbuster video
mm-hmm.
to establish that it's in the 90s. Mm-hmm. She punches an old lady.
Oh, man, the punching the old lady is the best bit of that.
There's some Skrulls emerging from the ocean like a boy band. It's just a lot of good stuff.
I saw an article on Polygon where it said, why did Captain Marvel punch that nice old lady? See, there's not even an article. Everyone knows the answer to that. She's a Skrull.
Yes, everyone who knows comics knows she's a Skrull.
Yeah.
My favorite was a GIF or a screen cap of that punch, and the caption was, I'm so glad that Marvel's making a movie about entering the housing market as a millennial.
Nice.
Yeah, that was pretty well played. Yeah, it looks amazing. The costume looks awesome. It has the fucking space mohawk helmet,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
is the thing that I thought they weren't going to do, mm-hmm, but they
which
did.
Which is the one thing I wanted.
Oh, it looks so good. She's got the glowing eyes. Also one of the shots, she's doing her energy absorption and redirection thing and glowing in a way that looks very binary. So that could be cool. We also get shots of Maria Rambeau, Monica Rambeau's mum, another Captain Marvel. Jude Law is playing a character they refuse to confirm is Mar-Vell.
So he's 100% Mar-Vell.
100% Mar-Vell. There's some space stuff. There's some Earth stuff. There's digitally de-aged Phil Coulson and Nick Fury.
Who look great.
Yeah, they've really perfected that tech. Mm-hmm. And
I mean,
yes,
to be
like
fair
March
to Sam Jackson, if you just put like a 90s style haircut on him, he'll just look like he's from the 90s anyway.
It's true. Yeah. I find that Sam Jackson's is believable, I guess because I've seen him younger, but because I haven't seen Clark Gregg young, seeing his facial features on someone with a complete hairline is pretty jarring.
Mm-hmm. Imagine sitting down with that. So we're gonna de-age you, whatever your name is, Clark Gregg. This is going to be a bit awkward, but we're going to have to give you hair.
Yeah. I mean, the earliest I've ever seen him in anything was he was in one of the first few seasons of Will and Grace for a guest spot.
Okay.
I think as a love interest for Jack.
I saw him in a movie called Choke. Choke is a movie adapted from a book written by the same dude who wrote Fight Club.
Okay.
And it's Chuck about Blaniak. He doesn't play the main character. He plays like an off character, like a major, kind of major minor character, who's a foil to the main character played by Sam Rockwell. And Sam Rockwell plays a sex addict.
Nice.
The movie is insane, and I can't believe it kind of got made. It is completely ridiculous, but at the same time, I love it. It's also got, I'm pretty sure it's, what's her face? Britta, you're the worst, Britta.
Oh, what's her name? Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, but I thought that was her first acting role.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was her. Gillian Jacobs?
Gillian Jacobs, thank you. Oh, Gillian Jacobs,
it's weird. Let's have a quick look and we'll sort this out. I swear it was her.
Because, yeah, the Clark Gregg appearance in Will and Grace was, you know, early 2000s, but he looked exactly the same. Like, and he's in his 50s now. I didn't realize.
Community is nowhere near her first gig.
Oh, okay.
I think it was her first breakout gig. Yeah, fair enough. You know, Choke was back in 2008, and Community started the year after. She plays a stripper. Yeah.
Of course she does. She's a woman in Hollywood.
But she's a very nice stripper. She actually hooks up with one of the main character's best mate.
Well, that's very kind of her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she Captain tells Marvel.
Her real name too, not just a stripper name.
Whoa. Mm.
Serious business that.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Batman's penis, Captain Marvel's kick-ass. And also, just as an aside, they've announced they're doing a live-action Avatar The Last Airbender for Netflix. And the original creative team will be on board, and they explicitly put out a statement saying they're excited to bring it to life in a non-whitewashed way, which is a good sign that they know what went wrong with Shyamalama Ding Dong's version. And they will not repeat it. Fingers crossed. What else did I have? Oh, yeah, the big news. The big news that happened on Saturday for us here in Australia, for Friday in America, is that Telltale Games is shutting down.
Mm-hmm. Which I found out about today, because I haven't paid attention to the news in the last few days.
Apparently not. Yeah, they announced on like late Friday in America that 225 staff members are being let go of the 250 staff that they have total. So a 25-person skeleton crew is remaining on to finish up existing projects. But it seems like that is in reference to the Minecraft story mode Netflix show that they're adapting, as opposed to the new season of Walking Dead, the final season, which just started, and I think episode one came out like a few weeks ago. So it's possible that will never get finished.
Unless they've got it all in the bank.
Oh, they definitely don't.
Yeah.
They'll have bits and pieces because they layer up their development. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a feature about this, how they layer it between both shows and episodes. But yeah, it seems like that's not going to happen. Also, all their future games have been cancelled, which was the second season of The Wolf Among Us, which everyone was very excited about. The second season of the Game of Thrones game. And the Stranger Things property that they were working on as well. So, all of them, gone.
Have they announced what happened and why?
It seems they have filed for bankruptcy.
But, I mean, they said, like, you know, the pressures of blah, or we overextended with blah. Have they said anything like that?
Not really. They've sort of said that they'll make few more statements in future, but I did appreciate that the few details they have confirmed, which was that the people who lost their jobs have been paid out until the end of the year, so they're not just cutting and running, and they also planned a job fair for them to speak to recruiters for other companies to try and find work, which, as far as company shutdowns go, is pretty responsible. The fact that from what I'm hearing, they were hiring people up until like a month ago, says that this happened very suddenly, or they had some sort of deal in the works to keep themselves afloat and it failed.
Are they owned by anyone?
No, they're still independent. So, yeah, that's pretty disappointing because say what you will about the Telltale Games formula, they were making games that other people wouldn't.
They had carved their own little part of gaming out, and no one, there's very few people making games. Everyone makes first-person shooters and survival games and battle royales these days, but very few places make adventure games.
Exactly. They kind of revived the entire industry for adventure games.
Click adventure games, yeah.
Alongside Broken Age. And yeah, just making games out of properties that other people wouldn't like. Who was really expecting to get another Sam and Max game ever? The Puzzle Agent games, they were a sort of a throwout that no one really expected. And they made maybe the only decent Game of Thrones game that's ever come into existence. Not that I ever finished it. Yeah,
I haven't played any Game of Thrones games, so I wouldn't know.
It's kind of disappointing. I mean, I appreciate all the work they've done, but I was about to dig into catching up on Walking Dead, and now, until I know what's happening with the final season, I don't know if I will.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, that.
Yeah, not even getting to finish your final project. That's...
I really want to know why it happened. I mean, did they overextend themselves with licensing costs? Because they had some massive licenses.
Yeah, they had Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm. And Game of Thrones, which, let's face it, is not going to be a cheap license.
Yeah, Stranger
Walking
Things.
Dead is also not going to be one. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things would probably be the cheapest of that lot, but it's still a pretty big name now.
Yeah, so, working with Netflix, Jesus.
Yeah,
Netflix need to make money because they're constantly making a loss as well. Yeah, so Telltale Games is Telltale gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bummer. But, I mean, at least they put something positive out into the gaming world, bringing adventure games back. Life is Strange Season 2 is starting this week, which I'm actually really excited about. But yeah, no more Telltale. Which is a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I did see one cute anecdote from the making of Borderlands. Another one that you wouldn't have expected for a friggin' adventure game. Apparently there was a stage direction for the animators from the script in the final episode of it, where Handsome Jack is talking to Reese, I think it was, the guy with the robot arm, in the hallway with all the screens, and the stage direction was that he flips off the screens as he runs past, with the intent that he turns them off.
Mm-hmm.
But they took it literally, which is why they thought it was hilarious and kept it in the main game. He basically just runs down the hallway giving them the bird. So there's like, we thought it was so funny when we saw the first run of it, we just kept it. I was like, yeah, that's great. Man, that's kind of a bummer. I appreciated the work they did.
Well, let's talk about something that's not a bummer, or potentially not a bummer.
Okay.
With some more news that dropped, a whole bunch of news seemed to drop right after I recorded our last podcast.
Yeah, it did kind of.
The Marvel trailer came overnight. I think the next morning it was just like, holy shit, you've seen the trailer. But it ended up back and forth. And it's like, and they have the Mohawk, and I'll then describe or asked how it's going to work with such a massive nerd burner all day.
I think I literally just sent you a message that said Space Mohawk, and that was it.
Mm. But also, we're getting a PS1 Classic.
Yes, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah,
PS1 Classic got announced, going on the trend with the NES and the Mega Drive and all that.
And it's going to make a bajillion dollars because it has Final Fantasy VII on it.
Yes, they've only announced like 4 or 5 of the games. There's Final Fantasy VII, there's a Tekken, there's some game that no one's heard of, some very, very early PS1 3D platformer. There's Ridge Racer, and I can't remember what the last one is. But yeah, they've only announced a handful of the 20 games that are going to be on it. They have confirmed that there will be no updates to bring more games to it in future, which is kind of shitty.
That's right. Models will take care of us. It'll all be okay.
Models will take care of it, exactly.
Yeah.
There was also a suspicion early on that it might be able to play original PS1 discs because it had the open button and it looked like a functioning hatch.
Pretty small.
But it is pretty small.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you could stick a memory stick in there or something.
Someone will mod it and you'll be able to expand the memory somehow, or just wipe the memory and put your own games on there so it won't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out the open button just cycles between the emulated games as opposed to actually opening anything.
Plus, I mean, it's supposed to look exactly like an old PS1. So it's going to have, aesthetically, it's going to have all the bits that the original one had.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cute. It's going to be like 150 Australian dollars and 100 US, which is pretty expensive, even for these classic consoles.
See, I'll allow that. We talked about it a bit, and I mentioned this as well when we chatted about it. I'll allow this one. Well, I don't have as much of a problem with this as I do with the NES games, because NES games are quite small. There's not a lot of variation in the type of games. It's the same shit over and over again with different sprites. Classic games, yes. Great for nostalgia, yes. I thought the SNES and the NES were overpriced. This, though, for Final Fantasy VII alone, a 3-disc PS1 game that is huge, it suddenly becomes more value for money, especially if they put games like Gran Turismo on there, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Spyro, Crash, Tomb Raider, like all these games, these like massive games like Splinter Cell, the original Medal of Honor, I love that. If they can put these like games that all of a sudden in that era with the PS1 and the N64 just became, the games just went out of sight in quality.
I feel like they'll probably skip over Spyro and Crash just because they both have the remasters. Yeah. They don't want to shoot their own sales in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in terms of gameplay, there's a whole bunch of good ones. They're saying they're going to like piecemeal the information out, whatever. It's coming out in December. They'll have to tell us soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Final Fantasy VII alone, the average playtime for that is like 40 to 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting like value for money, and
you're getting hours for money, because the NES and SNES games don't have a lot of replayability, but N64 and PS1 is where you got big sprawling games with a lot of replayability.
Yeah. And while $150 is a pretty high price tag, it still works out to $750 a game, which is what the PS1 classics go for when they're on sale on PSN. And surely there'll be games on this that won't be available on the PSN. So, I mean, overall, like, if it's a decent number of decent games, it's not the worst. I don't know that I'll bother with it. Unless there's something, like, truly fantastic on there, I'm going to give it a miss.
I mean, I will too, but just because I've played most of those games so much.
Yeah.
Like, Final Fantasy VII, awesome, great. I played that game so many times. I'm just going to wait for Infinity till we get the remaster.
Yeah.
Who knows if we'll ever get it. Or unless I can pick up a cheap PS1 classic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to spend $150 on it. That's for sure.
I think historically the classics, you haven't really been able to find a great deal on them.
Not yet.
But
as people, I know tons of people that have bought the NES and SNES classics.
Yeah, and same.
The amount of people that have played them, sweet fuck all. No one's played these things.
Oh, yeah. You buy it to have it. That's it.
One of my mates has still got, he got two of them, the NES, and they're both in the plastic sealed. And so what even is the fucking point of having it?
Yeah.
That's why they're too expensive, because you just never play it.
Look, the one game that would trigger me to definitely buy one, and it won't happen, is Chrono Cross. The sequel to Chrono Trigger, because I had it on my original PS1, which was modded, because it never came out here. But ROMs don't work of it. You get to the first boss battle and it crashes. There is not a functioning version out there. And it's available on the US PSN, but not ours. So, yeah, I will never get to play that again. But yeah, that's about all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got.
So
until we finish and I think of something and like, shit, should talk 100%. About that. Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for tuning in to your weekly dose of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to being angry about comics and movies and games as well, probably. We weren't that angry about games this week, really.
No, not super angry.
No.
Just normal angry.
Just the correct amount of angry.
If you love our opening and closing music, it's Foxside Chain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can go to Bandcamp to find a bunch of his stuff, or you can just Google around the place. There's a million sites that, you know, artists go to every, have presence on every site. You can search and find it anywhere you want. But Bandcamp, if you want the easy one.
Yeah. You can find us at IndoorsmanPodcast.com, The Indoorsman on Facebook, and at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter and Instagram, which I still haven't updated since we started making episodes again.
Boom.
One day I'll get there. Those are all our social links.
If you want to get to our individual social links, you can get us on Twitter at Cliff and Monkey for myself, or at Ponk for Matt. Or if you want to email us, you can use contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com, and you know, we'll reply mostly.
Probably.
2/3 of those things I just said will reply.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Mm. We'd love it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes or Podbean or Pocket Casts or whatever you use to view your podcasts, because it helps people know if we're good or bad.
I view the raw binary of the files.
Oh.
I'm mad old
pro school. Podcaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Crazy podcast hipster.
Tut tut.
You've never listened to a podcast unless you've listened to the binary. Just it reads out, the system just reads out ones and zeros.
It's the only Move way on to the next thing, please. Day. Please, God.
But, I mean, that's it. There's nothing else. You've been Matt.
And you've been Cliff, unfortunately. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying, I'm in a new podcast that's D&D Live Play, and it'll maybe be happening soon, so I'll be able to talk about it then.
I just play normal old school D&D without a podcast.
Well, some of us are trying to build a media empire here.